Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about the people and organizations that make an impact around Dallas-Fort Worth. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for joining me. And this morning, our first guest is Miss Annie Evans. She's the Executive Director of South Fair Community Development in South Dallas at Fair Park. Annie, how are you doing this morning?
I am doing well. Thank you for having me, Chris.
For those who don't know, South Fair Community Development has been a nonprofit builder in the Fair Park District for 30 years, building affordable homes for low to moderate income families. So tell us how this whole organization started and some of the work you guys have been doing over the years.
Yeah, so like you said, South Fair is celebrating its 30th birthday this year. And so it was established in October of 1991, actually by Linda Walker. She's now Linda Walker Bender, but she was a CRA bank representative, and she just had a full heart for South Dallas. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she saw the dilapidated buildings, the blighted area, and decided to start South Fair, a few other folks, and it's been going ever since. I am South Fair's third executive director, and I've been with South Fair as an ED since October 2011. So that's almost 10 years for me serving as South Fair's executive director. But the full mission of South Fair is to provide affordable housing for low to moderate income families in South Dallas or those who are looking to reconnect to their South Dallas roots.
Exactly. I mean, there's some areas there, like you said, they're revitalizing the area just like it's rapidly. It's like over the years, yeah, there's some work that needed to be done, and now a lot of that work is being done. But there's also some homes there. Now, you tell me the different types of homes that you're able to help them with, because I know there's some classic homes that are there, and they just needed to be fixed up. And then I also noticed there's entire blocks where brand new homes are being built.
Yeah, so there certainly is. So South Fair has been blessed to have been able to acquire a number of lots. That's a unique position for a nonprofit, particularly of our size, to be in. So we currently have about 38 plus vacant lots that we own outright. And so we've had the opportunity to build new homes, brand new homes, on a number of lots that we've had, and actually been able to utilize a rent-to-own program that we had in the recent past, and also just direct sales. Once again, the home buyer counseling services that we provide is really key to helping people to connect and have an opportunity, because you have a lot of folks that may not think that it's an option for them. Generational renters, that's a real thing, that, you know, your grandma may have rented and your mom, and then, you know, therefore now you're renting. It just wasn't a conversation. It's never been a thought. And so we really help folks to realize there's an option for them. Some of them have, you know, more of an uphill battle than most, but it's all doable if you dedicate the time, and we're there to hold their hands through the entire process.
So since you're building those homes, you're able to provide free home buyer counseling?
We do, yes. It's all free. We don't charge anything for our services. The only thing that the folks do pay for is their credit report, or if they have their own credit report, we're able to use that as well. And so we really pride ourselves on that, because in nowadays, it's just, you're going to find a cost for almost everything that you want in life. So to be able to provide those free services is really key for us, and we hope to be able to continue to do that, you know, through our donation and fundraising efforts that we put on throughout the year.
We're visiting with Annie Evans. She's the Executive Director of South Fair Community Development. Can you talk about some of the successes that you've had recently?
Yes, yes. So with our Fair Park Estates development, we've established a Fair Park Estates Neighborhood Association. And so we initially created that, but now the homeowners themselves have run away with that. They have their monthly meetings. They've put on the National Night Out events for their neighborhood. Of course, this is pre-pandemic, so we hope to get back to that hopefully this fall. But out of the 30 initial houses that South Fair built in the Fair Park Estates development, about 14 of those graduated from our rent-to-own program.
Wow.
So that was just a beautiful experience for those folks to actually be able to live in the house that they're eventually going to buy. And they continue to attend their pre-purchase home buyer counseling in all their meetings, and they stayed connected with us, and we were able to connect them with one of our lending partners that we work with, and they were able to purchase the house. And so we really make a hard effort to stay connected to the folks that we serve. Just this past Saturday, we had our first front yard competition for our neighbors, our homeowners.
Look out!
Yeah, it was really fun. We had a fire department representatives come out. Our police folks came out. Of course, some board members and also Councilman Bazadu, who serves our district, came out as well. And so it was very fun. The sun was out for us. The rain came away.
Nice.
It was really, really nice. And I think everybody enjoyed it. And so we're looking forward to doing that again next year and kind of wrapping it up even more. So we've had successes in different areas of what we do, from staying connected to the community to actually building the houses, and of course the free home buyer counseling that I've talked about.
You know what I love about this story so far? It's not just a collection of houses. It's not like you just guys are just building houses. You are creating community neighborhoods. Like some people have been connected maybe in the past or currently connected, but you're making sure that the neighbors know each other. You got your homeowners association. It's just like any strong neighborhood would be in the suburbs.
Yes, yes. We definitely make an effort for that, because we want them to stay connected to their community, to stay involved. We constantly sending them emails. They may get tired of our emails, so we're always sending them information about what's going on, a council meeting or anything like that. And I think they definitely do appreciate it, and they've grown to have their own connection. And I can tell that when we do have events and how they communicate, you know, with each other. And so we'll continue to push that forward, because, like you said, it's not just about building a house. You know, anybody or developer can build a house and sell it and then move on to the next project. We're here. You know, South Fair's been in the South Dallas Fair Park neighborhood for 30 years, and we're just dedicated to that neighborhood and just seeing it.
Yeah, you know it better than just some builder that's coming in out of Houston or Chicago or L.A.
That's right, because the Dallas, like I said, the South Dallas neighborhood is what we know. We've built some houses in a cliff, but that's been that was a temporary thing.
Mm-hmm.
So South Dallas is where we're at, sunny side of South Dallas.
That's right. Sunny South Dallas, where the sun always shines. We're talking with Annie Evans. She's the executive director of South Fair Community Development. They're building homes right there in South Dallas, right there around Fair Park. And I noticed that you guys are, like, when you build the homes, you're trying to make them affordable for low to moderate income families. So with that being said, is there a model or a set of models they can choose from? And then what if, say, you got the money and you like the area and you want to build something bigger?
Yeah, so actually we've worked with a few different architects on the houses that we've built. And so, yeah, they do get some choices in what they want to see in their houses. You know, paint color, brick, and things like that. And so as far as choosing, I'm sorry, what was that second question?
If you wanted to have something bigger, let's say you got the wherewithal, but you love the area and you don't want necessarily to be in a smaller home, you've got enough money to put down or you know, to have something a little bit larger.
No, yes, that's correct. We've actually sold a couple of our lots, actually, to folks that wanted to create their, you know, forever home in
sure.
South Dallas, but our product maybe just didn't meet their needs, and that's okay, you know, and, you know, it's okay for them to want something different. And so we actually have a homeowner, he's in the process of building his, I think it's actually a three-story townhome that he's working on one of the lots that we sold to him. You know, we don't sell our lots all willy-nilly. We're very particular mm-hmm. and passionate about the land that we do own because we want to be the most effective as we can, you know, for the community. So,
and I bet you want continuity as well. You want it to look similar to a degree and unique on its own.
There you go. That's right. We want a uniqueness, but also there's the South Boulevard Historic District that's there. And so
yep.
we want to definitely complement, you know, what's already been established.
Exactly. And you mentioned established and you mentioned generational. I also noticed on the website, which is absolutely awesome, the South Fair Senior Care. Can you talk about that? Because a lot of people, you know, they got grandma or grandpa still with them or Aunt Viv, you know, she's got to have a place somewhere nearby too.
Oh, you're right. So our South Fair Senior Care is a way for us to help our seniors age in place for as long as possible. And so with our Aya Village is a low-income senior apartment complex that we own. And also we have two small apartment complexes, mm-hmm. Alpha Parnell and Boulevard Square. And in those units, we have a good number of seniors as well. And so the idea was to provide them an opportunity at least once a month to get out of their apartment, to go to the movies. We've had senior yoga. We've had financial literacy for seniors, so various activities and informational sessions that we offer to them. Like I said, in order for them to age in place as long as possible, be the most informed that they can be as seniors, and we want to help them along the way.
You know, so interesting and amazing about this, all of this is right here in sunny South Dallas. I'm just so impressed that these things are there. A lot of people don't even know about it.
I know. We definitely want to continue pushing our marketing efforts. And so I was just happy that our homebuyer counselor, Marianne, was able to connect with you all. And mm-hmm. so this is one of our opportunities to just spread the word and let folks know that we're here. We're a small office, and we have a 12-person board, and we have some advisory board members. But we definitely need to do more with getting our name out there. Our chair likes to say, just like folks know Coca-Cola, she wants folks to know South Fair's name. So.
Exactly.
That's what we're aiming to do.
Well, that's what Better Living's all about. It's, you know, it's a show about people and organization making an impact around Dallas Fort Worth, and that's what you all are doing. We talked about this briefly earlier. You got the financial literacy and post-purchase workshops. Can you talk about these workshops and how people might be able to get involved with that or actually use your services?
Yes, like once again, just like our home buyer counseling is free, our post-purchase workshops are free. And the workshops vary from financial literacy. We offer that to seniors, kids, and also just adults. And we have workshops on how to maintain your house. We invite speakers to come in, lending partners, and others to come in and talk about what it means to get a mortgage. We talk about budgeting, various topics that we go over with folks. And we also, you know, provide refreshments. That's important
mm-hmm.
to get folks to come on out as well. But we're happy to provide that because, you know, once you get the house, right, you buy the house,
right.
and you're like, hey, that's definitely a hooray moment, but we want you to keep the house. So in order to keep the house, we provide those post-purchase workshops to be able to provide them additional information. You know, they've learned how to get a mortgage. Now let's learn how to keep up with the mortgage budget, you know, for things that may come up, you know, out of the blue, make sure they're saving and things like that. And once again, just helping them keep connected, not only to us, but to lending partners, to other providers that can help them.
Okay, so you mentioned all this. Let's go ahead and pull the curtain back. We're coming off of a pandemic. There's a lot of people in the gig economy, especially younger people under the age of 40, and they're just trying to make their credit look good so that they can be in position. Can you talk about how you might be able to help them improve their credit scores? Do you show any literacy about that?
Oh, yeah, we definitely do. In our pre-purchase homebuyer counseling sessions and the appointments that we have, credit reports is kind of number one.
Yeah.
That we go over. And we don't overwhelm our clients with, you know, just saying, hey, you have about 10 things you need to take care of. We tackle one thing at a time because, you know, everyone wants to feel accomplished. And so we want them to be able to check off, you know, that, hey, you've completed this, you've paid that debt, or you've made that correction to this line item on your credit report. so they can feel accomplished. You give folks too much at once, and credit report and scores anyway is overwhelming and can be depressing at times. And so, we, like I said, we definitely hold their hand through the process, and just to make sure they know with us, we're here for them, and we'll just tackle it one at a time. You know, if they don't limit themselves on their time frame, because everybody wants their house tomorrow, and I understand that. But sometimes it takes a little time to work through things, but we'll help them get there.
You know what it is? It boils down to this. If you really want something, it's about making a plan and following the plan. And then you see steps along the way, a sense of accomplishment, and you know that you're getting closer and closer. And I know that's tough. Like you said, this is an instant gratification world we're living in, and people want something overnight. But if you show them a plan and you say, this is the first, I think you get a lot of people on board, right?
No, yeah, you're exactly right. Because a lot of folks, they've been kind of tackling their credit report on their own for a while, and it could be pride or just not knowing. They don't reach out for help. And when they do come, you have somebody that's going through it with you. You have somebody that's helping to hold you accountable. Because when we, you know, say, okay, well, give me a copy of that letter that you sent to your creditor, or bring me a copy of your bank statement. That's how holding them accountable. So they know they have to do that work, right? And we're helping to get them closer and closer to their goal of homeownership.
You know, I found out talking to some people in their 20s, Generation Z, that's what we call them. You know, late teens and the early 20s, they, like I said, they're living in a gig economy. They're multitasking. And when you want to show them something and it's not going to be just totally instant gratification, you kind of have to say a few code words to make them feel like, this is how you get it done. I always use the phrase, oh, yeah, you want to learn this credit score thing? Here's the cheat code. And you say cheat code because they're all gamers. You say cheat code and they just, show me what I need to do. And they're off to the races. I mean, you got to kind of speak their language sometimes. Have you found that sometimes people come to you and you say, okay, let me try to match this logic to the people who are trying to get these houses?
Yeah, no, you're right about that. It is a unique way that you have to speak to actually different generations.
Yes.
Right? Everybody absorbs information differently and receives information differently. So we've had folks that maybe have stopped, you know, attending their home buyer counseling, and then they pick up later. And then, too, we learn as a group. We come together and we have our meetings, and as we talk about our client files, we all kind of chip in with pointers or, you know, things to kind of think about. And I think that's what helps the counselors stay connected to their clients, because we kind of talk it through. It's not just a counselor that has their files and they go through it and they're alone in the process. But we all help each other.
Exactly.
And so that's how we stay connected and help kind of brainstorm, you know, what's the next best idea for that particular client.
I like the way you talk, because, again, different people come in with different ideas on how they want to purchase a home. And like you said, it's generational. You may have some people in their late 50s that say, okay, I'm coming back to South Dallas. This is where I want to live. And you got to talk facts and figures to them. Whereas, like I said, the younger groups, you know, even Gen X, you got to say, okay, this is what we can do for you. And it's just, you have to talk to people in their own language.
No, you got it. We actually have a lady who's in her late 50s, early 60s that we're helping to purchase a house. She's not actually purchasing one of our houses, but it's still a win. We have home ownership happening in South Dallas, regardless if it's our product or not. But, I've noticed that when we have a conversation with her, it's pretty to the point. It's here, here, and there. You know what I mean?
Right.
A younger person that may need a little bit more explaining, but not too much to the point where they're like, they're bored and now they're exiting.
Yeah.
It's definitely a balancing act.
And speaking of balancing act, I have also noticed over the years, especially, like I said, around the Fair Park area, South Dallas is becoming more and more multicultural. It's almost like there's this group of people that just feel like it is the cool avant-garde place to live, and you're working close to downtown or wherever the different areas are, and this is a cool little spot. Am I wrong? Because I've just been noticing. I'm like, wait a minute. It's not all just black. It's a little bit of everybody over there.
Yeah, I think so. You know, a lot of folks have been sleeping on South Dallas, but South Dallas has always been where it is. In the center, pretty much, of Dallas, connected to so many different highways, hospitals, Deep Ellum. You go one way, you're in Oak Cliff, go another way, you're in North Dallas. So it's really central into the Dallas area. And so I think folks are waking up to it. But we also want to be careful that we're not causing any type of gentrification. And so Souther is sensitive to that. And we think due to the fact of our land ownership and our 30-year position in the neighborhood that we're able to soften that or be able to direct that in a more positive light for the folks that live in South Dallas and that do want to come back or make South Dallas their new home.
Sure. I understand it's a balancing act. It comes full circle again. It's a balancing act, and you know exactly what you're doing. You guys have been around there for 30 years. We talked about this earlier, the Fair Park Estates Neighborhood Association. Now, you guys started that in 2012. Can you tell us more about what it does to help secure those neighborhoods and make sure that everybody feels like family?
Yeah. So once we started building out Fair Park Estates, the thought was, okay, how do we stay connected to our folks and how do they stay connected to each other? So we created a neighborhood association. And then the first a few years of it, South Fair hosted, directed that neighborhood association until more folks started to buy the house or participate in the rent-to-own program. And so after a couple of years, we had them vote in a president and vice president, and they just started going strong. The president right now is Lionel, and the vice president is Norma. They both, of course, are homeowners in the Fair Park Estates neighborhood, and they do a really great job at staying connected to the folks in the community, providing information. They also have their Facebook website, that they have, and they help to provide information to everybody that's in that neighborhood association.
So, Annie, let's go ahead and put a face on this organization. We talked about the history of it, and we talked about how you're the third executive director in the 30 years that they've been around. Let's talk about how you got involved with South Fair Community Development. Why did you say, you know what, I think I'd really like to work with this organization?
Let's see. Well, actually, back in, 2004, I was South Fair's office manager. And at that time, I was working on my master's degree. I stayed for a couple of years, and then I left to work for another nonprofit. And then I worked for a for-profit, and then probably 12 years ago, I was approached by the interim executive director of South Fair, which is a board member who came on just temporarily, and then he was looking for some assistance. I was, at that time, at home with babies, and so I was, you know, ready to get back out there. I said, sure, I'll come help out. And so he actually became my mentor, Ted Law, and I worked with him, and then probably a year in, he kind of had a conversation with me and said, you know what, Annie, I think you need to consider being South Fair's executive director, and it was not on my radar. And so I told him, you know, okay, I thought about it, and, you know, he presented it to the board approved, and, you know, I became South Fair's executive director. So I really, really appreciate Ted. He has since passed, but he was definitely my mentor and really helped me position me to do what I do, and just a great and intelligent guy that I appreciate it so much for seeing something in me that I didn't necessarily see in myself at that time. So, yeah, so that's kind of how I got started with that.
Well, so far the shoes are fitting well. You're not only a great executive director, you're a great spokeswoman. You're telling the story so well. Can you tell people where they can find out more information and how, if they wanted to volunteer or if they wanted to partner with South Fair Community Development, what they can do to reach you guys?
Yeah, so definitely visit our website, southfaircdc.org. I am Annie Evans, South Fair's Executive Director. You can definitely reach out to me at annie.evans@southfaircdc.org. Our phone number, 214-421-1363. And on our website, you can connect to our Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, and Facebook pages. And, of course, our office information and phone numbers and emails of our staff are listed there as well.
Annie, we've got to get you back on again to catch up with all the wonderful things going on with South Fair Community Development right there in sunny South Dallas. Thanks for being on.
No, thank you, Chris. I appreciate it.
Joining us right now is the president of the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Dallas, Mr. Charles English. Charles, how you been, buddy?
Chris, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure. It's always a pleasure getting back to visiting with you, because you and I go back a little ways in time.
That is true.
And there's so much to discuss, especially about the great things going on with the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Dallas. For those who don't know, Boys and Girls Club of Greater Dallas is one of the leading youth-serving organizations in North Texas, positively impacting over 8,700 children ages 6 through 18. The program's based on intellectual, physical, and social needs of youth, enhancing character and self-esteem are educational and fun, and contribute to youth fulfilling their potential. Basically, you guys have had a program that's been so successful. How long has it been in this area?
Well, Chris, good question. I'd like to address it. And if I can just spend a minute or so, give you a little bit of a backstory.
Sure, take your time.
The Merkinson family, former owner of the Cowboys, they were the leading sponsor of the first club in 1965 that was established in West Dallas, West Dallas Boys and Girls Club. And that was in 1965. We have since grown to nine what are called traditional sites. These are standalone sites where we pick up kids from school and bring them to the location of these standalone sites. And we're in 26 school sites. So over my 15-year tenure with the Boys and Girls Club as CEO, we have grown exponentially over that 15-year period, but not just growing for the sake of growth. We grew with the sake of impacting the lives of over 8,000 club kids who are coming to our club every day after school and during the summer. Now, you gave a very nice, and I appreciate the intro into our being the premier, outstanding, highly rated, highly regarded youth organization.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another story behind that. We were broke. We were financially insolvent in 2006.
Whoa. I didn't know that part. Please tell us what happened. What happened?
Yes, we were in the process of losing a lot of our stakeholders, a lot of our funders, because we weren't paying attention to the whole thing that is associated with cash flow, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I have 35 years as an investment banker. I have a finance background, but my specialty was working with entrepreneurs in the world of banking. So I was on the board of the Boys and Girls Club, and I was then faced with a decision to step outside of my 35-year career in banking to step into my new career of youth development. And it was the best decision I could have ever made, because I can see the immediate return on my time and my investment in kids than I would have ever seen as an investment banker. So we started turning around the organization in 2006, 7, 8. We got cash back in, and we started expanding. We started bringing our donors back, our stakeholders back, our relationship with DISD back. And today, over the last, I would say, last 10 years, we have been profitable. We have been fortunate to develop a $43 million endowment. And we are now rated number one in our class by GuideStar and Charity Navigator. And probably in the top 10% of programs, after-school program providers by DISD, with a contract that they pay us to serve their kids.
That's awesome.
Who are our kids.
That is absolutely amazing. And that is a great piece of information. And that is part of the story. So who contacted you? How did you decide? And I know it had to be a tough decision, because banking was your life. And it turned out to be, like you said, a life-changing moment. Please walk us through that story.
Well, I was with Compass Bank on Hillcrest in Highland Park, managing wealth management and also doing some commercial business financing and some real estate financing. But Chris, you know, when I look at how I made certain decisions and how I came in to my family and said, oh, by the way, I'm going to, and then they just hold their breath until I tell them what I'm going to and fill in the blank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's always been of service. It's always been, how can I balance my life, my family's life, with community service. And so I was sitting there one day, spending a whole day tracking down a wire transfer of one of my wealthier customers. And then it dawned on me, is that my life now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I have three kids. Yes, they went to private school. Yes, they are in college, private colleges. And yes, they're doing well. Their mom is very well educated, former principal of St. Philip's,
mm-hmm.
and now professor at SMU. What can you do? I said, if you look over your shoulder to your past, will you leave crumbs behind for others to follow? That was a very tough question I asked myself. And I was doing well for my family, but I wasn't giving what I felt I needed to give back to impact lives of people that looked like me.
Mm-hmm. And you know
and
what?
So
keep going. Keep going. This is awesome. Go ahead.
So to be very specific to your question, what made me decide? Well, you know, I tell people it was the Jonah experience, swallowed up by the whale. I was sent to Nineveh. I couldn't sleep. I was tormented. And after 3 weeks of no sleep, I knew it was a calling. And I answered the calling to
the Boys and Girls Club.
To the Boys and Girls Club. I answered the calling.
This
and
is
it
absolutely
was
amazing.
Scary.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that I had to fall back on what I've been blessed with my financial skills, and put those skills to work to turn around. And now we're probably one of 100, there are about 1,400 charter clubs throughout the country. There are 90 what would be considered urban-based clubs.
Mm-hmm.
These are clubs located in major cities like Los Angeles, Chicago, New York, Houston, Fort Worth, San Antonio, the list goes on. Well, we're one of the leading organizations of major metro clubs, and we're addressing a number of issues related to the growing gap of education amongst children of color.
Mm-hmm.
And so that then brings me to this point. We launched an academic program about 10 years ago, and there was a pent-up demand for parents that needed help, particularly our single parents, our struggling parents who work in multiple jobs, to have a place they can send their kids to get supplemental education, to get their kids on track to meet the standards of the STAR exam. And we were able to have measurable outcomes showing that our kids under our academic program was faring very well relative to those kids in some of the most underserved communities like South Dallas, certain parts of Oak Cliff. And we were able to show evidence that the extended learning during the after school and during the summer had an impact on the not just the ability of kids to learn, but excited them to want to learn.
This is fantastic.
And we just built that momentum and started getting more attention from the principals of the schools who had been designated on a 3-year turnaround requirement by the state, or they would be closed. We became the partner that helped to turn around those schools to the point where they remained open.
This is absolutely amazing because, again, a lot of people on the surface, those that don't know what you do, think that the Boys and Girls Club is just, you can drop them off at the rec center and they can kill time and get tired and come home and go to sleep. And that's not what the Boys and Girls Clubs have evolved to. So as we tell that story, I want to come back and ask you one more question about yourself, because when you saw the opportunity at the Boys and Girls Club, again, it was in dire straits. Some people look at that challenge as something like, I don't need this at this point in my life. I've got, you know, I've already been through those things. I'd actually like to help, but I don't want that particular challenge. How did you personally look at that challenge and say, I'm going to do this?
Then you got to dig more into my past.
Go right ahead.
I grew up in a small community in Northeast Texas, outside of Clarksville, Texas, population of 357 people. And I grew up in a family where I had a mom, being a mom, with five siblings, and I saw her struggle, but I saw her how she made ends meet, and she made sure that we were educated. She really reinforced education. But beyond that, we were very, very strongly committed to not only our church, but also to the community. At one point in time, we had a farm. We basically shared harvest as well as our killings to the rest of the neighbors. Mm-hmm. And our house burned. We lost everything. In 2 weeks, Chris, we were fully back on our feet with house, clothing, food, because the community remembered what we had done in the past for those who needed to be fed during the winter months. So that it was embedded in all of us, in the six kids, is a sense of giving back. And we never could really understand why mom would create that kind of a mindset. So that stayed with me, is to provide service to others. And so I came up with a theme that we started last year. Let's find in each one of us a will to want.
Mm-hmm.
A will to want. Some of us, you know, don't necessarily understand the power of that will to want to serve, the will to want to provide, the will to want to help someone who's less fortunate, the will to want to listen to someone, the will to want to advocate on behalf of foster kids, the will to want to help that family that is homeless. It has an internal kind of mechanism that gets turned on. And that's what we preach my 200 staff members. Find that will to want, because it's a very powerful tool to make you do things that you would not ever believe that you could do. And so that was the thing that triggered my personal decision to have the will to want to serve kids that would be left abandoned on the street if we had closed.
We're talking with Charles English, the president and CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Dallas. That will to want, I'm telling you, it is what's in the heart of healthcare workers, educators, and first responders. Because it's not about the money. They do this because they have that will to want. And you do too. And who would have thought with your financial background that you had that same fire? But you, like you say, you were raised that way.
It oftentimes does go back to your earlier experiences. And if I were to get more personal, see, my mom had me before she remarried.
Mm-hmm.
And gave me to her sister to raise. I didn't know I had another family until I was 6 years old.
Wow. And you know what? That's not unusual in our community.
Absolutely. And here's the other thing I learned. I didn't learn how to read until I was in the second grade, and I was a struggling reader. Guess what we started 3 years ago in the Boys and Girls Club? An accelerated early childhood reading initiative. And we have taken those first graders coming into first grade with no prior early childhood education, and we hired credentialed teachers to teach those kids. We're on our fifth year now. We started with one club location. We have 9 accelerated learning centers in our traditional clubs. Kids don't want to leave. They're reading at or above their reading level, and they don't want to leave their friends.
That is so
impressive.
They
don't want to become part of the regular Boys and Girls Club programs.
Mm-hmm.
They want to stay in the reading program. So that came out of my own personal experience. And I think that creates another component of that will to want. You got to look at, why did you have to go through certain experiences?
Mm-hmm.
What was the thing that God was trying to present to you that would allow you to be the first to go to college, to learn finance, to get into banking, to have ownership of a bank? And to be able to use the tool, not for the benefit of wealth, not for the benefit buying the big house on biggest house on the street. But what does that skill set do for the community?
What you've basically done, Charles, is you're creating a legacy.
Well, if that is the case, it would be someone else that would define it as legacy. I just see it as the will to always want to serve.
This is, like I said, it's so appropriate because you are in the right place and you have been over the last few years here, 15, 14 years, the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Dallas. And for those who don't know, again, let's talk about the things that the Boys and Girls Club create, because you just said this. This is more than just, you know, a rec center you drop the kids off. It's a place, a safe place to learn and grow. They learn academic success, character and leadership skills, citizenship, healthy lifestyles. Can you talk about some of those programs and, like, some of the things that you implemented personally? Because you can talk about where it was financially and the dire straits, but let's talk about they had a good reputation for providing so many things, but then you added more. Can you talk about those things?
Yes, the more ended up with what I just mentioned, the Early Childhood Education Initiative. The other one was STEM. Do you know we had a team that built robots? We've competed three years in a row and went to Houston to go against some of those high schools that were coached by folks who worked at NASA, and we made it to the semifinal. Our kids built a computer in the first year. It was just prototype. We didn't know what we were going to do. We didn't know how FIRST Robotics was going to run and how competitive we would be. The second year, we built a computer that shot a basketball into a goal. The next year, the third year, was to throw a frisbee into a small opening, and you create points. And you're in this huge area where you're really competing against three other contestants in the same pit with you, all right? So that was something that was new. The other thing, we also realized that of our 8,000 kids, roughly 20% of 1,600 kids were high school teens. So we developed a career development program, identifying those kids who were interested in pursuing college. We had, I think, 10 kids 10 years ago in a partnership with Junior League of Dallas. Now, on any given year, we'll have over 250 kids in our college prep program. We will place in any given year 100, 110 kids into the college, and typically college of their choice, with as much scholarship money as you can imagine. $1.5, $1.6 million has been the top level of scholarships offered. And these kids are typically first to attend college. Now, these kids are coming out, and our second seat, working in the district attorney's office, Idris Kempelu, my mentee, I'm proud to say, is an attorney. Wow. Darius Shaw, he is an electrical engineer. I got him into NYU.
Wow.
And I got another gentleman who is now a marketing manager for a public relations firm in D.C. What they all had in common, they were black males who had not been encouraged to even think about going to college. But I also encourage mentoring. We have a very strong girl mentoring program, but our boys, and I'm glad we're ready to segment into some of the needs.
Mm-hmm.
We need more male mentors, okay?
Yeah.
Now, when you look at the mats, well, we have shoot around. We have those, they invite us down to the gym to go through, you know, basketball clinic kind of a thing.
Right.
But we need to extend that relationship to bring some of those players into our clubs, like Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes was just completely committed to our Oak Cliff Boys and Girls Club. He was there visiting when we didn't even realize he was there.
Yeah, he was such a great community advocate. And when the Dallas Mavericks made the trade with him, it broke their hearts, because it's like, well, we have to do it, but man, he's one of the best persons, not just players, they've ever had. One other note about the Mavericks, even back in the day, quiet as it's kept, Steve Nash was a big part of the Boys and Girls Club locally here in Dallas because he was always a mentee for some of the little kids. It was an amazing story. And I did not know that. Yeah, and here's another. Pull back another thing. This is, you've already known this, but a lot of people may not have. To this day, Spud Webb is a huge advocate and mentee for the kids with the Boys and Girls Club.
He went to our Turnkey Boys and Girls Club. He learned basketball skills coming out of Wilmer Hutchins School District.
Yep.
But he learned his skill at the Turnkey Boys and Girls Club.
He sure did. And way back in the day, show how old I am, back in the day when Spud was in the NBA, he and I and his agent Robin Blakely, we would do these celebrity charity basketball games. There were only three sanctioned in the NBA, Larry Bird's, Magic Johnson's, and Spud Webb's, and we get all the different superstars, guys off the Dream Team, Barkley, Dominique, Magic, all those guys would come here, and all the proceeds would go to the Boys and Girls Clubs, and they'd always have a little visit in the whole nine yards. And that was, of course, that was back in the late 80s, early 90s. But you guys have been going so strong, and like you said, it's more complete, and it's more awesome. So let's get back to what you said about the needs. You're saying you need mentors for the mentees.
There are three areas. Male mentors.
Mm-hmm.
And let me also say that when kids really know an adult love, care for their interests and for their needs, I don't care what color that person comes in.
Yeah, exactly.
to be honest with you, these kids are just anxious to have someone to help direct them and help them in their decision making and that sort of thing. So male mentors, workforce development opportunities, support of our healthy lifestyle, helping kids understand that the way they treat their bodies now is how their body's going to treat them when they get to be my age, 70.
Wait a minute, you're not 70 years old, no way.
Yeah.
You don't look a day over your mid-50s at the most.
Well, thank you, Chris. Thank you. I play a lot of golf.
And very nice.
I stay very active. And so when I look at where we're headed, our outlook is this. We've already managed our way through the COVID. We did a lot of things in COVID. We served a lot of families in terms of food. We went to virtual learning. We ended up installing three Wi-Fi connectors on our big buses, 64-passenger buses, to take into communities that were very limited in terms of internet connectivity. And so we've done so much to mitigate the impact of COVID on our attendance and on our staff. Now we are now looking outward. We're saying come fall,
mm-hmm.
we are going to get back to where we were on an average daily attendance of 1,800. We probably will come into average daily attendance this fall of about 2,400 kids a day because of our contract with DISD.
Amazing. I got to slow you down because that's absolutely amazing. And I don't want to gloss over what you guys were able to get accomplished during the pandemic, because a lot of people had to pivot. Some were not as able to pivot as well, and some, unfortunately, weren't able to pivot at all. You mentioned the virtual learning. Could you talk about what you guys were able to accomplish with the virtual learning in helping these educators with the kids and the Wi-Fi? Because not every neighborhood's got the Wi-Fi. And can you talk about, again, how it all worked and whose idea it was and what kind of a challenge that seemed to be?
One of the things, I teach my leadership team, and I have an awesome leadership team, by the way. I talk about leadership, and one of the defining moments of leadership is when there is a time of need for you to show leadership. Leadership is defined by actual a response to uncertain situations. COVID created an uncertain environment, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we said, what is that going to require of us to maintain our relationship with our club members who will be impacted the most, particularly in communities of color, okay? And so we said, well, it's going to be virtual learning. What does that mean? Well, we took a lot of courses. But at the same time, about 7-8 years ago, I cut a deal with Dell Computers, And we turned our computer labs into top-performing technology, where we were importing all kinds of supplemental curriculum for our kids, reading, math, STEM, in terms of geography. And so when we went virtual, only thing we had to add was the virtual application of Zoom, GoToMeeting, Microsoft Teams, and making sure that our kids had computers that they had access to so that we could start teaching curriculum in a remote remote virtual world.
Mm-hmm.
But we made that investment 7-8 years ago to bring our technology center up to a point. And so
you were ready for the moment, basically.
Yeah, in 2020, I spent about over $100,000 to bring everything up to speed, more bandwidth, more power, more access for our kids with the Wi-Fi buses. And we made that investment immediately. We did not wait. And so then we started looking at, well, what about those parents, the first responders, that need to bring their kids to our location? Well, let's make accommodation for that. So we took a deep dive into policy procedures in terms of CDC protocol and making sure that our staff, our visitors, our kids were safe from catching the virus. And of our 35 location at the time, between March of last year to this very day, we only had like 6 cases that we uncovered because we stayed very true to our protocol.
That is
so
miraculous.
We were able to continue to serve our kids for those families that had to work.
That is absolutely awesome. Now, I mentioned the pandemic. I got to centralize a little bit further because everybody's got a story, and I want to hear yours. What about the pivot or what was going on when the power outage happened? Because I know that had to affect you guys in February when the power outage happened in Texas.
Well, one of the technologies that we also purchased was a calling tree, which is a technology, a phone call tree,
mm-hmm.
where when the power surge hit and many of our clubs had no power, we put a message out to all of our family members, explaining to them on a daily basis, sometimes twice a day, what was going on if we were getting power back. We had two traditional clubs that retained power, and they were able to, you know, help families who needed to go to the club for just a warming station.
Yeah,
you know, and we realized that we still could not do a lot in the way of the impact of the power loss. So we basically put out messages. Again, we had set up for virtual learning anyway, and we just put out messaging about where warming station, where people could go, basically the do's and don'ts while you're in a situation like that, like avoiding, you know, warming your house up with your car running in the garage. So we put out a list of a lot of precautionary kinds of notices to our families.
Mm-hmm. That is awesome. You were able to stay in touch with everybody, provide a little shelter for those who needed to stay warm, and again, keep them updated on when things would get back to normal.
There you go.
That is, like, again, for those who don't know about the Boys and Girls Clubs of Greater Dallas, and we're talking to the CEO, President Charles English, it's just, you guys are just the great opportunity that a lot of people even heard about but didn't really know. Didn't know about the hope and opportunity, the life-enhancing programs and character development experiences. And you mentioned you're looking forward. Now that you've gotten through this pandemic and gotten through the power outage, you said there are some bigger and better things coming this fall. Tell us some of these things that are coming up, not only this fall, but this summer, and the things that you're looking to do.
Well, let's put a timeline on it. Let's say within the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
We're going to continue to grow, and we're going to continue to expand. We're going to expand and grow inside the district. Dr. Hinojosa and I, we really get friends, and we talk about the needs, and so we want to stay very closely aligned and committed to helping DISD.
He's a great man, by the way. Dr. Hinojosa, I can't say enough about him.
Absolutely. Well, he's homegrown.
Yes, he is. Sunset.
So growing with impact, not compromising the quality of our programming, we're looking at also a number of nonprofits that did not survive during the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And we were able to take over two locations, two youth organizations, one in West Dallas. The organization just could not raise enough money to survive during mm-hmm. the COVID, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so United Way asked if we would consider taking it over, because otherwise there are going to be about 300 kids in West Dallas that are going to lose the opportunity to have a place to go back to school in the summer. And we did our due diligence. We looked at it, and we also retained the former club directors that helped us to stabilize the club. And we're back. We're up and running and doing quite well. And then down 50 miles south of Dallas, Corsicana, mm-hmm. a club was on the brink of closure. And we were asked by the National Boys and Girls Club of America to go down and see what we could do to get this club up and running and open for one of the most economically deprived communities in Navarro County, which was on the other side of the track, which primarily 99% African-American. We were able to go down, and that was almost a year and a half ago. And that club is one of our best performing clubs of all of our clubs. And the community has turned out big time. Going forward, we're looking at raising capital to build a community center that's going to be a multi-complex of basketball, as well as community training and development for staff, for the families mm-hmm. that live in that community, for workforce development. And then talk about me. I've already told you about my age. My horizon is coming up on me pretty quickly here, right? So, you know, we're going to talk about how we're going to build a very strong succession plan. And I'm not giving any dates and times on that, but I think it's very important as a leader that you don't create a gap when you continue to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And my moving forward is to create two more entities. One is going to be early childhood development centers with licensed, certified instructors. And the other one is going to be a workforce career development center that's going to attract teenagers who are interested in learning skills beyond, not just for college, but practical technical skills like carpentry,
yeah.
electrical, plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to connect up with our partners in the commercial real estate community and say, we want internships, summer, that will turn into part-time job, that will turn into full-time job, our first opportunity to hire these kids when they finish high school into an apprenticeship program. So I'm looking for a building to be able to introduce our kids to some of the most sought-after trades right now.
That is, like I said, you don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it for you. You are creating the legacy. The legacy is already in play, and by the time, like you said, you decide to, you know, pass the baton, it will be said. It will be known. Charles English, you know, the CEO president of the Dallas Boys and Girls Club, the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Dallas, the legacy is being done. And you've got people who want to help. You got people who want to partner. You got people who want to volunteer. Can you tell anybody else who might be listening right now how they might want to join with you, or even how their kids might get involved? Some people even wonder if there's a fee for the kids being dropped off at the Boys and Girls Clubs.
Yes, all good questions that they can find a lot of information on our website. Our website is loaded with information
mm-hmm.
on our programs, on the fee structure, on the additional fees that's associated with our sports program, which is basketball, flag football, soccer, volleyball, and they can get all that information. But here's one very important thing I want to point out. When they go to our www.bgcdallas.org website, understand that we do not give away anything for free, because we are also creating a generational mindset that nothing that has value is free. So we offer scholarships.
Great.
So we have tons mm-hmm. of money that can offer scholarships for those families who are on fixed income, for many of our kids who are being raised by their grandparents or their foster kids. We will make sure that they will enter our doors and be full-fledged members and benefiting from all of our programs, because somebody out there in the community saw their worth and had a will to want to pay for that scholarship and pay for those field trips and pay for that college education, because that's where we put our time and effort, is finding more people with a will to want.
All right. That is Charles English, the president and CEO of the Boys and Girls Club of Greater Dallas. And we want to thank everyone again for joining us today. Thanks for listening to Better Living. I'm Chris Arnold. Be sure to tune in next week as we highlight other organizations and events happening right here in DFW. Have a great day, everybody.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.